Blog.
Yeah, it's been a long road.
Anxiety sets in, I'm starting to pace. My nerves unsettle, sweat drips my face. Hands take, can't escape this decision I make. Heart racing, my faith says this is my fate. I just brace and I take in the face of adversity. Tasting this certainty, the brakes ain't hurting me. Gain on, a bomb my pain stronger. Fame smarter, street smarter, train harder. Can't stop me, drop me, I'm not losing. I'm too fast, lightning even when I'm not moving. All heart, leave these cowards on cold. I'm hot, not to mention all the power I hold. Keep moving, keep training, headstrong. Be patient, meet them head to head. I don't care if it's the least safest. Not stopping, have a promise to prove I'm a fighter. It's not an option to lose.
Yeah, it's been a long road. I don't know where it's gonna take me. But I got faith. My fans, my loved ones, my block, my peoples. Sort of. It's a struggle. Gotta keep up, keep rocking, keep your eyes on the prize. The other foot in front of you, you never know where life will take you, man. Ride with me.
Back in the 70s, dad jumped the boulder. A little earlier, my grandma raised a daughter. A beautiful thing, she was a ghetto flower. Caught a young man's attention with her power. It was love at first sight, I saw she thought. But a couple months later, he left her with a broken heart. Young and naive, only 17. About to have a young mouth to feed. Head down, she could feel the shame. A couple months later, labor pains. She looked down in her new son's eyes. A flashy smile, as big as the skies. Pop gave her being a man to try. Worked as a mechanic, mama up at Burger King. Meanwhile, late at night, she was studying. She did a thing and she got an degree in chef.
All in one lifetime, it's just all in one lifetime.
All in
one lifetime, it's just all.
To the future, now I'm 14, and my pops up and left the scene. Now I'm a young kid, walking the block, and no white man, no, my mama's a cop. They tell me no love, a young man locked in handcuffs.
Good evening. Sorry about that. Let the song go a little longer. That actually happens to be Mountain Man's favorite song, so I wanted to play it a little bit longer. Welcome. Welcome to the show. It's so nice for you people to join us, and I'm so just overwhelmed with the reception. We're going to have Chris Salmon's going to be on the show in a little bit, and this is actually going to be our third week on the show. And I'm telling you, I have just been overwhelmed with your letters of encouragement, with your letters of support, with emails. I mean, it just keeps getting so amazing. We've already had almost 700 hits on our show, and I'm telling you, it's just been amazing. It's an amazing ride, and I'm grateful, and thank you so much for all of you for your kind words of support. To remind you, today is Wednesday. Yes, Wishful Wednesday. I know. I kind of feel like that lady from Romper Room. You guys remember that show back in the days where she'd have this mirror, and she'd look through it, and she'd mention all these people that she was seeing. But I just want to start with a positive thought. And one of the things that I have been thinking about this week is the fact that sometimes in our hustle and bustle of our everyday life, we forget the things that are really, really important. And for those of you that heard our show on Monday, Natalie actually made an amazing point. Our guest was on, Natalie Gerardo Martinez, this amazing woman that's living life to the fullest, in spite of the fact that she has the severest form of the disease, lupus. One of the things she said, it's about the quality in my life, not the quantity. And that really hit me. Because in theory, there are many times that we can spend a lot of time with our loved ones, but we're not really doing anything. We're not connecting with them. We're not communicating with them. I mean, there can be so many times that we're in the same room and we're really not even talking to them. We're not even communicating with them. And this is one of the reasons why this really was a very deep, poignant thought for me. Hold on one sec. Let me see. I have Guest 3963 in the chat room. Guest 3959, welcome. And Mountain Man, welcome. Yes, I know I have you on cue. Just sharing a little message. And unfortunately, you can't hear me when you're on cue, so I will be with you in a second. So one of the things that really hit me about that is the fact that we spend a lot of time sometimes with those we call loved ones and the people that we care the most about, but we don't really interact with them. I remember somebody saying to me, the irony is that sometimes we spend more time communicating and talking with people on the internet, in our chat rooms, Facebook, all these other venues, which are great, but sometimes we spend more time interacting with them and getting to know how their day is going and all that kind of stuff than we do with our own family. So on Wishful Wednesday, I'm going to challenge you this week to reach out to those that you really care for. Your children, they grow up so quickly, and I can attest to that. It seemed like yesterday when we had a house full of 9 children under the age of 16, and in a blink of an eye, we're down to the baby. He would kill me if he heard me say that. He was 17 and driving and a junior in high school. Very quickly it went by. Do I have some regrets? Obviously, I'm human. But for the most part, I'm grateful that I did spend a lot of quality time with them. We did some really great things. So just to reach out to your friends, your loved ones, your coworkers, that quiet neighbor maybe down the street, your paper boy, your garbage man, anybody that you see every day in your life that you really haven't gotten to know, find out what their name is, what they're about, what kind of person they are. And who knows, you might actually be making a new best friend. So with that said, welcome to the show. I am back in here, and I am going to see if our guest is on. And let's see. Hello, are you there?
Yes, I am. How are you doing?
Very good. Welcome, welcome. How are you doing today?
Good. One of the my challenges in today's show was trying to work on one of two ways of getting into the show. First one didn't happen, so I bought my other one.
Yes, Chris, our guest this evening is Chris Dameron, and you'll get to know a little bit more about him. But Chris actually, he's like, all right, let me be adventurous. Let me see if I can actually get into the talk show through his microphone and headset. Obviously, that didn't work.
No, it did not. I don't know what it is. I don't know if you have a way to accept it over there or not.
You know, that's a very good question. While we're on it, real quick, let me see. I have my switchboard up, so I don't see why you wouldn't be on there.
Because I clicked the top.
I see you in there.
Yeah, well,
and
I'm on
have
my...
You're on your what?
I'm on the phone. I'm on the house phone, so calling in.
Yes.
So
well, while I'm actually skewing through this to see if I can figure something out, in the meantime, Chris, thank you so much for agreeing to be on the show. I know that a lot of people don't realize, but you are kind of a little bit shy when it comes to things like this, aren't you?
Yes, I am. Yes, I am. But, hey, we all have to work at it in one way or another. That's for sure.
Yes. Yes, we do. And if you notice me moving around, I'm trying to do two things. I mentioned to Chris earlier that I have, like, tons of videos and pictures because I'm an avid video picture taker, as my son says. And I'm trying to actually get them downloaded on DVD, so I got to keep an eye out that my DVD doesn't run out while I'm talking to Chris. I know, Chris. It's so, it's been one of those things in a really good way. We reached 700 visits on our talk show.
Wow.
Yes,
and
yes. Very exciting because this is technically, we've technically been on the air since the 21st of September. So we're actually looking at, drum roll please, let's see, we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. This is our 8th official show.
Wow.
Yes, our 8th.
Going strong.
Going
and hello
strong.
To all who are in the chat room as well.
Yes, that's right. And it's cool because one of the cool things that we also have to share with our listeners is that we're booked solid all the way to almost the end of November, beginning of December.
Wow.
Yes, we have some really cool guests coming up. Before we get into my interview with Chris, let me share real quick some of the people we have coming up. Friday, we have Shelly Nunchucks Finnegan, an amazing woman. She's a comedian. She's an actor. She's a stunt woman. She's going to be working with me on an upcoming project. And on top of all that, she's just a really sweet, amazing human being. Going to enjoy that show. Monday, Columbus Day, we have David Paulson. He went from official U.S. postman to actor, writer, and some other cool stuff. So he's going to share his transformation with us and some of his screen and writers program that he's involved with. Friday the 16th, we have Joe White. Great script writer, great actor. He was actually in L.A. for a while. He's going to share some of his stuff. I don't want to get too much into it because I don't want to spoil it, but you're going to have an amazing treat with him because not only is he funny, but he's talented, and he's another one that I'm going to be working on a project with, and I'm really excited about that. The 19th, Autism Optimism. Gentleman had a child born with autism coming straight to us from Canada. Yes, our neighbors way up there north, and he's going to share what he decided to do about it. Instead of getting angry, he actually got into action and started this program, Autism Optimism, to educate people about the challenge. We have Jenna and Lewis will be on the show, L.A. Fresh, singer, rappers, real good people, amazing voice. Jenna can sing her heart out. You're going to love her, and with the combination of L.A. Fresh's lyrics and sound, really good up-and-coming duo. Jeff Sullivan coming to us from Maine. You notice something, Mountain Man, Dave, Chris? We're going all over the place. You notice that?
Yes, I do, and it's great that we're going all over the place, and it's just so awesome that we are, and I'm thankful to all the listeners out there that are listening to the show as we get this show underway here.
Yeah, and one of the things is that I'm excited that on October 19th, officially, we will be international. How cool is that? Because definitely Canada obviously is another country, so we're going to be international. I'm so excited about that. Jeff Sullivan is going to be coming to us from Maine. He's an amazing producer, cinematographer, editor. He has a great show. He just finished a movie with Bill McLean called Scooter Magruder, and amazing working with him. I got the opportunity to do a little bit of background cameo. I even had a little bit of a speaking part, which was wicked cool, so I'm going to have him on the show. The 26th, we have Amanda McCarthy. Oh, my God. Did you hear a little bit about her at all, Chris?
I heard a little bit, but I'm not exactly sure what exactly I heard, but I heard a little bit about
her. She's a 16-year-old musician. She self-taught herself how to play the guitar. I think she's teaching herself how to play the piano. She's an incredible voice.
Wow.
And I'm so glad that she's going to be on the show. I'm really excited. Deborah actually wind up referring her to me, and she's actually going to be on the show as well. The 28th is another amazing show we have coming up. There is a premiere in Boston for this movie called The Suitcase. David Garfield is a local producer and filmmaker from Chelmsford who made this movie. This is going to be the director's cut, and I'm going to be going to the premiere. And one of the cool things is I'm going to actually do the show a little bit earlier with David so we can actually have the show on and at the same time be able to attend the premiere. And I'm going to pick this man's brain because, again, he's an incredible person, real talented actor as well as a writer.
You picked everyone's brain.
I'm telling you. Hey, you know, we got to fill that brain cavity up there. November, same thing. We have a live show going up at UTEC because they have their 10th anniversary. The most exciting one is Woody Badavoa. He's going to be here on the 20th of November, and he is a talented filmmaker. He's actually doing a project called The Power of Purpose. Kind of goes a little bit with what Carrie Sheehan was talking about on suicide prevention. He's actually having a fundraiser on Sunday at the Cape for the movie that he's making. It's to bring awareness for suicide prevention and all these things. And on November 30th, to end up the month, we're going to have a hodgepodge of musical actors. We're going to have Cardiac. We're going to have Tragic. We're going to have Jenna back. We're going to have L.A. Fresh. We're trying to get Cherie. So we're going to have about 8 or 9 different artists sharing some of the stuff that they have coming up in the new year.
Wow, that is awesome. That is so
isn't
awesome.
Isn't that the coolest thing ever?
That is great. That is really great.
Yeah, so we have a lot of cool stuff coming up. And I'm also trying to plan. See, it depends. I have this brain with, so we're going to keep it on the cover, see if I can do it, but I'm trying to plan a really special show for Halloween.
Oh, yep.
It's a Saturday, so we're going to have a special show on Saturday, but I haven't quite decided how I'm going to pull this off, so keep your finger crossed, listener. So, Chris, thank you so much for being my guest.
Anytime.
I know, and one of the reasons I did want to have you on as a guest is because not only are you an incredible person, you're just like my little brother, but on top of that, you're my guru in the chat room, and you're going to start being our co-host hopefully by December.
Hopefully by December, I should be well enough to be an official co-host if we can work this out.
Now, what I want to know is, right off the bat, is let me give me a little background about you. Now, I know that you obviously have some physical disabilities. Would you like to share some of that with us and tell us a little bit about where you grew up, that kind of stuff, and actually, how the heck did you wind up in this area of the country?
Well, I will be glad to answer a lot of that. I am 34 years old. I was born in Denver, Colorado. And I was in foster care practically all my life up until the age.
Okay, now stop right there. You were in foster care. Now, when you were born, explain some of the difficulties that you had at birth.
Some of the difficulties I had at birth, I was in the hospital the first couple of years of my life, two years straight. I do not know the biological parents, and we won't go into that too much detail.
Right.
But let's just say that I was not pleased when I found out that I was in there, and I was lived in four different states.
Mm-hmm.
I lived in Colorado, Utah, Arkansas, and Massachusetts. A family in Massachusetts saw one of these Sunday's Childs, Tuesday's Childs advertisements in the newspaper or TV show back in the early 80s. I was on Wednesday's Child with Jack Williams. Who is an awesome, awesome Channel 4 news anchor. And
he's always been one of my favorites. It's funny because he just seems like the sweetest kind of person. He really does.
And I had the greatest chance to get to meet him and be on Wednesday's Child with him. We actually did the taping or the show it was a taping from the New England Aquarium, and I just had a blast there. And I went to school in Canton, Massachusetts, at a school called the Massachusetts Hospital School for Physically Disabled Children.
Mm-hmm.
I was in there from the age of 10 to the age of 22.
Okay, Chris, let me stop you right there, because I know when people think of foster care, for some reason we kind of think that foster care means you wind up in the same state. But you went from Colorado to Utah to where else?
I went from Colorado to Utah to Arkansas, Little Rock, Arkansas.
Okay, and was that because of the disabilities you were born in, or is that just where you were able to find placement, where the agency was able to find placement for you?
Wherever the agency was able to find a placement. Because of my, and just for the listeners, I also have spina bifida. I am disabled from all my life. It was from birth I have spina bifida. And I was able to walk in my younger years, but as I got older, I ended up using a wheelchair a lot more. And I would just hope that I do ask for a lot of prayers, because in November I am going to be going through a procedure that is going to take a little bit of time, so I'm not sure if I'm going to be able to be around the couple days when you do the shows. But I do encourage everybody to just have prayers and everything. I apologize. I went totally off track there. Please bring me back. No, not a problem.
No, that's perfect because it kind of adds a little bit more information. So you were born with disabilities. You had spina bifida, which a lot of people might not be familiar with. It's basically you're born with a hole in your spine. And as a result of that, it can be varying degrees, and you have no sensation in your legs. And like you said earlier, in your years, you were able to walk a little bit more. Now you relied more on a wheelchair to get around. But one of the things that people don't realize is that because of your disabilities, you obviously had a hard time being placed because people might have perceived that you were probably going to be a lot more, not so much work, but just that you required a lot more care than maybe some people thought they knew how to do or were able to do. Is that what you felt was the problem?
Yes, I was adopted, but then put back up for adoption back in the 80s. I love my family. I totally love my family. I don't get to see them as often as I would like to. I rely solely on public transportation and friends. And please, if any of the listeners have any questions, please email Charlie and she can relay the question to me. I would love for the listeners to email questions or go into the chat room, and I would be more than willing to answer them there as well.
Definitely, because I mean you do have a lot of stuff that just, it's amazing to me because I guess I can understand in a way, but by the same token, knowing you, knowing your personality and how you are, this is one of the reasons that I'm, because we do have a lot of similarities in the sense that we both are adopted. I did not meet my birth mother till like maybe, 9, 10 years ago? Maybe a little bit longer. And I haven't met my father yet, my biological dad. So I can relate to where you're coming from with that sense of, you know, being bounced around. Now, my question is, was it because of your illness that you wind up in foster care again?
Yes, it was. It was due to my illness. A lot of people, and I really want to touch on this, I have a disability, and the families that I was with just did not know how to work with that, and they did not know that I had it. Well, they probably knew I had a disability, but they didn't know how to interact. There was not the facilities, medical facilities, whatever, to be able to have me around. And because of my disability, it was harder for me to live with the families and everything. And problems arose, whatever they were. I don't know what all the problems were, but there were a lot of problems. And just a lot of people just, I think, just either A, went out of foster care or stopped taking foster kids, or B, they just did not know how to handle me at the time, because I probably had to have them spend more time with me and be able to have them take me to appointments or what have you. And
well, that's understandable. Let me stop you there real quick because of the fact that, I mean, for the most part, 90% of people that are foster parents are just amazing people. They're very caring. They're very giving. But a lot of them also have work and other things going on. And even right off the bat, the thought that they would have to keep taking you to doctor's appointments and all this plus thinking, well, do I have to modify my home? Do I have to get special permits? Because a lot of people don't realize that when you have a foster child with special needs, a certain type of special needs, you actually have to get certified by the state to be a special needs, quote-unquote, facility as a foster parent. And in some states, that certification is harder to get than in others, and for some people it's just not worth the time and effort, or the, sadly enough, the aggravation, because it is a lot of red tape, a lot of paperwork. So there are some people that want to do that, but it's just not something that they can do, because then they have to have certain modifications to their homes and all that kind of stuff. So, yeah, it can be challenging. But one of the things is, so you wind up going back into the foster care system. How old were you when you went back in?
I was probably about 10 or 11, and I ended up going back into the foster care and went to a lovely person in Sterling, Massachusetts,
mm-hmm.
and I was in their foster care for up until probably 95, and it was great. I just would... I was in a 200-year-old home that was nowhere near handicap accessible. And,
oh, man.
Yeah, but we were able to get me in and out of the home perfectly fine. I actually, and I love the family 100% because they lived on a farm. I was able to ride horses, work on the farm a little bit, and be able to get more. I could never sit still. I was always.
What do you mean could never?
Down.
You still can.
I
you need a GPS to keep a track
can.
Of you.
Stay
I know there was so many times or... that yeah no there was so many times that I wanted to, like, you know, we were trying to connect and you weren't there, and I'm like, I need to put like a tracking system on Chris's wheelchair to find out where he is. And after a while I figured out your routine and were able to track you down. But it was so funny because you just refused to be slowed down. Now my question is, and I can obviously I can relate to this because I live in an older house, and I remember the first time you came to visit, it just, we take that for granted how difficult it is to navigate certain stairs and stuff, but you did not let those stairs slow you down one bit. You went up onto my deck and into the kitchen, and then one time we had you come in through the front. But I can see, again, too, where it would be very challenging to have to live in a house like that full time, where it was hard to navigate. Because
yeah.
of the fact that it wasn't handicap accessible. And
right.
on that note, just one of your things that you're very passionate about is that particular subject about things being handicap accessible and letting people be aware of how difficult it is for people with disabilities to move around.
Yeah, I am, just for the listeners and whoever's in the chat room, which it only looks like... you and me, Charlie, right now. I wish there were more people in the chat room. And
yes,
please,
but you're, I actually have been getting a few emails, so I have a couple questions that are going to be coming up in a couple minutes. So,
okay.
Just, yeah. So it's not just the two of us. We're not all alone in here. We got a few people that are actually emailing
but
me.
Anyhow,
yeah, so continue.
To back
mm-hmm.
to the question, I am one of these people that, if I come up against a situation, whether it be in the public areas or
mm-hmm.
Into a certain building, I have to look at how am I going to get into this building. If I cannot see a ramp of any type or any signage to the building, because around Lowell, There are many, many places that, especially in the downtown area, that
mm-hmm.
are not handicap accessible. And
you know, it It's funny that you mentioned that, because a lot of times people think that they are handicap accessible. You see the sign that it has a handicap elevator or whatever, but that's great that the elevator's there, but what about the journey from the sidewalk to where the elevator is, or the journey to where the ramp is? So it's not always cut and dry as far as how accessible these places are, even though people think they are. And one of the things that I found interesting when you and I became friends is what you just said. You look at a room at a building, and to you, it's how do I get in there? And it's funny because it's kind of like that cop mentality, because as a police officer, when I was on a tactical unit, that was my mindset. How am I going to get in? How am I going to hit a room? How am I going to be able to do it safely? For me, it was because I didn't want the drugs to get flushed or the bad guy to get away, and it was something that I did once in a while. For you, it's an everyday occurrence because of the fact that you need to make sure that you can safely get into this building, do whatever business or errand or whatever you're doing, and then be able to safely get out without hurting yourself.
Exactly. And what I do, if any time I go into a building, I look, because I try to be very safe and conscientious of my surroundings. And in Lowell, Massachusetts, it is very, very challenging.
It is. And for our listeners, one of the reasons it is because we're an old mill city.
Yes.
And the reality is that some of these buildings are 100 and more years old. And it's very difficult for the city to make modifications to these buildings, even though they have. I mean, one of the examples that I found funny was that the downtown post office, they put these doors in that are supposed to be handicap accessible because you're supposed to be able to reach over and push a button and have them open, or they are supposed to open automatic, but they don't. They forgot to put that particular component in. And if anybody that has ever dealt with bureaucracy, it's like years before you can get the approval to modify this to have it work the way it's supposed to.
Right, and a lot of these places have certain things grandfathered into their leases or what have you. And to me, I've lived in so many different places within the past 20 years. I have come up against numerous challenges, and I have been, I graduated in 95 from a school that works with people with disabilities. They have an elementary school there. They had a high school there. They had places for recreational activities, which I enjoyed tremendously. I cannot believe how much that place is well thought out. And with
Place is this again?
The Massachusetts Hospital School in Canton, Massachusetts.
Mm-hmm.
I tell you that if you have a youngster that is disabled and you're looking for a school, yes, it's about it's south of Boston, and it's probably about an hour away from here, from Lowell, Massachusetts. It's just an awesome place. I have a lot of friends who have actually lost contact with. Over the last 5 years, I've come to get back in contact with a few of them. And I just absolutely love being able to talk to old school friends. And and that ties into what I'm trying to say now, is having the friendships that I do with you, Charlie, with everyone that we know.
Right.
It seems like everywhere I went when I was with you, it's like somebody always knew me. And that is one thing that I love, is once I get to certain areas of the town, I used to spend a lot of my time downtown. So I got to know
Let me stop you real quick there, because this is a running joke that we have. I told you that you were the unofficial mayor of Lowell because everybody knows you. And the other thing is that you have this amazing, I don't even know what to call it, because you basically can tell people how to get just about anywhere with public transportation. You know where the connections are for the bus, you know how to, the train schedules and all that, and if you don't, you know how to navigate the website enough that people can go to you for information when it comes to it. And that's one of the things that continued to amaze me, because you made yourself so independent that that's how you got around. And the other thing people don't realize, for our listeners to know, you actually drive. You used to be able to drive because you actually had a vehicle that had been outfitted for your disability and had the hand controls on it. Is that correct?
Yes, I did. I had a Ford Thunderbird, I believe it was an 89 Ford Thunderbird two-door that had it looks like a luggage carry that you would put on the top of your vehicle.
Right.
That it actually stores the wheelchair.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to throw, if anybody has a question and they'd like to talk to me more, they can contact me at c_dameron@yahoo.com. If you have any more questions after the show, I'll be glad more than to answer them. But
and real quick, before you continue, Chris, real quick, because I've got a couple of emails in just to get the number out. If you have a question for Chris, if you'd like to call in, the number is 347-989-1473. Again, it's 347-989-1473. Or you can log on to the website, www.blogtalkradio.com/ordinarywoman. And woman is spelled WMN. You can go right into the chat room. You can send us the question that way, and you can join us there as well. Before you continue, Chris, I have a question. Debbie22 wants to know, did you feel angry about the situation that you kept getting bounced around so much through foster care?
Yes, I did. I got to the point where I was in my under 21 and with the school I was at, because of my disability, because of my attention deficit disorder, I was, because of my situation of bouncing around, I never really got to know a lot of the family. I never got to know a real family, per se, as I do the ones who adopted me. And I love them dearly, my family, and it just is so, it was so hard to kind of grow attached to people.
Mm-hmm.
But I look at myself this way now. I talk to anybody and everybody I can. I don't grow attached to one particular person at any particular time. It takes time to grow a relationship with anybody. And anybody who is in the foster care system, it will take them the individual time to get used to you. And yes, to the emailer, I was very angry. I would always throw tantrums. I would always want to. I never wanted to. Let me think about the way I want to word this, because I don't want it to come over negatively. I just wanted to be able to have a family that I felt a part of. And being in certain foster homes, I had that. But in a lot of them, I never really got to know the families until I was adopted. And I came to Massachusetts because there were two. One was I was adopted, and one was a foster home. I got to be in a foster home, which took me for several years, and I loved going to this foster home because A, they lived on a farm. B, I could always go outside and play or help my grandfather at the time on the farm and do farm chores, farm activities with horses, chickens, pigs, geese, you name it. We probably had it on the farm. But being in that one foster home, I was able to grow attached to the family. Granted, nowadays I don't talk to that family quite as much as I would like to have done and like to do. But because of my...
Now, let me stop you real quick, because there's a follow-up to that question, but people that are listening, our listeners are going to say, well, that's perfectly normal because everybody wants to have a family and everybody wants to feel that connection. So it's understandable for you to have been angry, especially because not only had you been moved from house to house, but we're talking state to state. So that's a drastic change for any child, for anybody, that can be hard to deal with. So taking temper tantrums and all that is perfectly understandable. And one of the things that Debbie was also asking is, how were you able to turn it around so it didn't consume you and that you were able to actually be the way you are now?
Well, one of the ways I did that was when I got older, closer to 18 to 19 years old, I just got to the point where I said, okay, no more foster care. I want to get out of the system. And I just ended up staying at the residential school that is in Canton, Massachusetts, which is a Massachusetts hospital school for physically disabled children.
I ended up staying
there. But I didn't stay there all that long. I had friends that I ended up going to their houses for the weekend, going to this foster home up until that time. But I had friends who I could go to on occasion. I had made lots of friends there. I had also made some friends in a church group, which I used to go to. So I always went out on the weekends or tried to go out on the weekends.
So let me ask you, three-wheel
bike. So I was able to also go out and ride my bike as well. And yes, what is the question?
I know. But one of my questions is that it was very easy to really be a hermit and be negative and say, you know what, the heck with people. I've never had anybody be there for me, and I don't want to be there for anybody else. Yet you actually were totally the opposite. And what was it, do you think, that made you be that way? That you actually have a tendency to be like a friend to everybody. You're very caring. You're just a very sweet person. And what do you think of the ways that you were able to become that way? Or is it just that was part of your personality?
It was probably part of the personality. And I want to make sure that we have enough time to get to the other emails or whatever as well.
John from Somerville wants to know, what are some of the ways that you think the regular people, he says, and he puts parentheses, smiley face, not so, can actually have more awareness about people with disabilities, and what are some of the things that they can do to bring this out to the forefront and to be able to help make your life a little easier on top of all the challenges that you're already dealing with?
Well, to that question, there's just one basic thing, is put yourself in, if you see somebody who's in a wheelchair, try to put yourself in that person's shoes and look at how challenging they might have getting around the town or just getting anywhere. Because you may not
know. I'm going to stop you right there. I have to stop you right there, Chris, because, oh, my goodness, did I have an eye-opener. Now, you know I've actually worked with people with disabilities. You know that, right? I actually was working with you for a while when I had a contract with a certain company. And then when I left, when my contract was up, you and I stayed friends. But last year, I had a so-called simple foot surgery, which I thought, oh, this is a piece of cake, 6 weeks, some cast comes off. Not so. And the eye-opener for me was I had the surgery in January, and I purposely planned it that way because I had my son's baseball tournament in March, and we were going to be traveling to Arizona, and I wanted to make sure I was good to go. Not so. There was nothing more, I'm not even going to say humiliating, but just mind-boggling was when they plopped me in a wheelchair at the beginning in the airport, and then to have them put me through the scanner and the extra frisk, because obviously, you know, we're touching metal when we're touching the wheelchair, so I'm setting off the detector. They're looking for whatever vapor.
But that's a good point, too. That's a great point, Charlie.
Oh,
because
man, yeah.
You want to know something? When I was at that school, I went to track meets, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I was very athletic at that time. I was in so many track events and so many sporting events that if you think about it, you had a melon a few weeks ago, okay?
Yes.
Now, you talk, and this is for the listeners. I tell you, Mel was a person who really I look up to nowadays, and I told him this the other day, that
mm-hmm.
I could relate to some of his issues. Now, if you think about it, you talk to, you do sports yourselves,
mm-hmm.
okay? Think about it this way. I did football, but I did it in a wheelchair. I did soccer in a wheelchair.
That boggles my mind because it's just amazing how people with disabilities like yourself are willing to not give in, to say, I am not going to have this beat me. I'm going to continue to be active. And the thing that
but
got
gonna
me...
But I'm going to stop you right there.
Oh, my goodness. It's
okay.
Amazing.
But
yeah.
I think you say that, Charlie, okay? But there were several students who I had to try to encourage to say, yes, you can do this. Yes, you can. Just take your time and do it, okay? Because I look at the challenges now. I look at the people now who are in wheelchairs, or
mm-hmm.
if you're an able-bodied person, you're sitting in their chair. People come. If I sit on the bench, people sit. Certain ones who I knew sat in my chair and said, "Oh, I'm going to take it." I'm like, "No, you're not." But if you want to roll around in it, just to give that person a quick perspective.
There is no quick perspective because you sit there and I see you whipping around that wheelchair like you're, you know, one of these, NASCAR guys, and it boggles my mind. And I sat in that wheelchair the first time and I felt stupid, like, what is wrong with me? I mean, I'm going the wrong way. I'm running people over. Yeah, because it's such a hard thing to learn. And, you know, the funny thing is that, like I said, it was such a humbling experience to me. On top of what you just said, that here you are in a wheelchair and you're doing sports, and I have coached in the past where I had people with two perfectly good legs saying to me, oh, it's too hard. I just can't do it. And I just wanted to, like, not that I ever did, but just like whack them and go, wake up, you know, what is wrong with you? There's perfectly healthy people that don't do stuff that you do. Like, there's people that complain, and I'm not going to lie, I was one of them. When my car was in the shop, I thought twice about having to take a bus, or I thought twice about, it's kind of cold out, do I really want to walk? Well, meanwhile, you have to cross this death road to get to the bus stop from your house, and then deal with the different exchanges and all that. So it just gave me an awakening about, man, we take a lot of things for granted, and it goes to show me just how incredible and how strong you are for just doing the things that you do every day.
Yeah, and I just would encourage everyone to just look at the situation this way. To all the listeners who are listening right now, just take a moment and look around you and see, okay, what can I do to help this person if I come up against a person in a wheelchair?
Mm-hmm.
If the person says, oh, I can do it, then leave them. But if they
right.
need help, help them. But take it one step at a time. Just try to put yourself in that person's shoe. And I say that to all the listeners, because if you can put yourself in that person's shoes, you have one more step. Think about it this way, because I know a lot of you will take this for granted. Getting around the stores, going into the parking lots. Think about, okay, people, and I've seen this on more than one occasion, a person who is not disabled, parked
mm-hmm.
in a handicapped spot.
Right.
That takes away from the person who is disabled, like myself, who was
yes.
driving at the time. And believe it or not, I was mad. And if I don't see a handicapped spot or a curb cut, I get very aggravated, because I look at it this way. There's no curb cut. How am I going to get on the sidewalk? Me,
right.
I can do it. I have grown accustomed to just popping the curb. And popping
mm-hmm.
the curb means going up the curb backwards in the wheelchair for me.
Mm-hmm.
But the people who are in power chairs, they can't do it as well as I can, okay? Or they can't do it at all, okay? You just have to look at it this way. And this is one thing I strongly, strongly recommend.
Right.
Is just really pay attention to your surroundings. If somebody's in a wheelchair and they're trying to get into the store you're going into, see
mm-hmm.
if they hold the door for that person or anything.
And you know, Chris, not to stop you, but that's just common courtesy. I remember one time that I was going in a door and I'm carrying all these bags, and the freaking guy, and excuse my French, the guy in front of me let the door slam in my face, and I didn't care so much for me because I was able to stop it with my foot, but there's a little old lady behind me. I almost wind up knocking her over because
exactly.
I got pushed back. It's like, how much of a fog are we walking around in that the basic common courtesies seem to be disappearing? I mean, and you're absolutely right with that. And I have to tell you a story, and I'm telling you, Chris, it's one of the things that I will never take for granted. I remember when I first started running again, I was doing a road race in Worcester, and I'm not going to lie, I hadn't been running that long. I had been laid up, and I was getting back into it. And I'm telling you, it was a 3.1-mile run, and was I being a baby? Absolutely. And I hit this hill, like straight up, and I instantly had all these negative thoughts about, why am I doing this? This is so stupid. I should just give up, and it's dumb. It's too hard. And as I'm going up the hill, I looked over, and I get choked up thinking about it. And I got to stop for a sec because I don't want to make a fool out of myself and cry. But there was this gentleman in a wheelchair sitting in the corner, and he had a little sign that said, don't give up. And he was cheering every runner that was going by his corner. And I get choked up because, needless to say, by the time I hit his corner, I would have to say that at least 800 to 900 runners had gone by him, and he clapped for every single one of them.
And I'm going to stop you right there so you can
yes.
take a minute to
mm-hmm.
collect yourself. But think about it this way, the Boston Marathon, okay?
Mm-hmm.
There are thousands upon thousands upon thousands of people who run the marathon every year.
Right.
And you think about it this way. You see the wheelchairs, you see the paraplegics,
mm-hmm.
you see all types, and they have different starting times. But you think
right.
about it this way. You're running in the 26-point-something-mile race,
mm-hmm.
okay, from, I believe it's Hopkinton to Boston.
Right.
Okay. You think about it. how difficult will it be for a person who is disabled to run that long? Okay.
It is amazing to me because, again, it's all different muscles and stuff. And one of the things that I vowed to myself that day after seeing that is that, see, that's the thing, Chris, that we take for granted, because as much as my feet were hurting, I had blisters, blah, 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 that man would have probably killed or given his right arm to feel the blisters I was feeling, to feel what I was feeling going up that hill because of the fact that he couldn't walk. And I kind of made a commitment to myself that I was going to be active for those that couldn't. Because it just blew me away how selfish we can be at times and how we take things for granted. And that's one of the reasons that I love your attitude. What is that constant beeping? That is
hold on, Charlie, because it could be my end.
Okay, we're good. No, but one of the things that hits me is that's why I love your attitude. It's like you are like, you know, I'll do it. I don't care. I mean, you're not taking any risks. Because you did have an accident last year where you slipped in the ice, and you know your limits, unfortunately, because there's nasty weather around here. But for the most part, you are the type that says, I'm there, I'm going, I'm good, and you don't make any excuses. I mean, to the point that there are times, and I know you're going to laugh about this, people have to tell you, okay, Chris, you need to sit your butt down and relax a little bit because, yeah, you're going too much, too quick, and that's just not because you're are disabled. It's just as a human being, you need to kind of sit back, pat the dog, smell the roses.
Exactly, and I'm
going to
say this. I really do will give a challenge to every one of your listeners and everyone who's mailed in a question, and I'm sure there's probably one or two more that I'd like to try to get to before the show ends. And I know we've only got a few more minutes to get to those questions if you have any more.
Me too. Actually, I do. Let me give you this one real quick, and then you can give me your thoughts at the end, because like I said, we have less than 3 minutes. I have a listener, Nikki, from Saugus. She wants to know, what are some of the things that you can share to educate people about ways that they can help people with disabilities, even if they're not able to do foster care?
If you're not able to do foster care, that is fine. But I would look at these places who... in Saugus, I would try to find a organization or something that is, and I can't tell you what kind of an organization, but I know in Boston there's a program called BCIL, Boston Individual or something Individual Living Services, some sort of an Individual Living Services, and in different parts of the state, it's called something different. But I would just look for those organizations and just think about the MDA telethon, okay? Look at how many people have those MDA or muscular dystrophy or any of that. I would just try to find those organizations and try to see if you can help. Spina bifida, I know there is an organization out there for people who have spina bifida. And for those, I would just look in the area and just find those types of programs.
Chris, not to stop. Oh, there she is. Boy, I got her time down. Not to cut you off, but we have 90 seconds. Anybody you'd like to say hey to for listening and tuning in?
I would just want to say this to everybody who is listening right now. Think about people with disabilities. Look at your surroundings and just pay attention. And I'm going to have to come back because I have so much more I really want to say.
There's our 60 seconds. So definitely we're going to have you back, Chris. And, of course, you're going to be helping me co-host in the near future. Good luck on your surgery. I'm hoping everything turns out. And you're still going to be with us for the next few shows anyway. Until then, to our listeners, thank you for coming. Nikki, Joe, Becca, who else? John, and a couple more. I'm sorry I didn't get to your questions, but next time we'll probably get to them in a little bit. So have a great evening. Chris, thank you so much for joining me. We're definitely going to have you back. And remember, people out there, live your dreams, make them happen, and don't take excuses, and don't let anybody steal your dreams away. Good night, Chris. I'll talk to you later.
All right. You, everyone have a great night. And exactly, I have to reiterate her. Have a great night.
Yeah. It's been a long road. I don't know where it's going to take me. Or not, I got faith. My fans. My loved ones. My block. My peoples. Sort of. It's a struggle. You just got to keep up. Keep walking. Keep your eyes on the prize. The other foot in front of you. Never know where life will take you, man. Ride with me. Back in the